Parental discretion advised. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Geo's Passion, where some of the names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride.
What's up, Geo's Passion Posse, GPP, and the place to be. My name is Jack. I am your host. I'm bringing you this podcast from our GPP studios in Wesley Chapel, Florida. Today is a good day for many of you grown-ups who want to dress up in your slutty little outfits and want to make believe that you are Superman, Batman, DC, Marvel, whatever. Happy Halloween 2022 to everybody out there. I hope your trick-or-treating and everything goes good. I hope you get all the tricks and the treats, yeah, baby, that you're looking for. So I will tell you, this podcast is also being sponsored by Geo's Passion and the geospassion.com website. Geospassion.com will give you updates and archive episodes of the Geo's Passion podcast and let you join and subscribe to Geo's Passion Posse so you don't miss an episode or update of Geo's Passion. Don't forget to bookmark geospassion.com, that's G-I-O-S-P-A-S-S-I-O-N.com, and join the movement. Now back to the episode. All right, let's do this, people. It's that time. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, I knew I was going to get into this one, right? Of course you did. And you know what I do? Let's go! So Webster's Dictionary defines hypergamy as the action of marrying or forming a sexual relationship with a person of a superior sociological or educational background. And as you all know, I look up the Webster's Dictionary version and the Urban Dictionary version. So on the Urban Dictionary, it says hypergamy is when a woman always looks for a better partner based on opportunity, even at the cost of hurting a relationship, morality, and other side effects. Yes, let's go. Let's get into it. So hypergamy was a word that I didn't know much of. Though I knew the actions that constituted a hypergamous relationship or the act of hypergamy. So I did some research and I've been watching TV and YouTube and stuff like that. And I came across an article in Women's Health by Dr. Natasha Sharma. She said that the phenomenon of women seeking partners of higher financial means and or status to achieve primarily economic security, but also upward social mobility has been around for centuries. Yes, for centuries. Okay. Now, I will tell you, she also says that despite the advances women had made over the last 50 to 100 years, there's still an element of this phenomenon. So that means there are still women, though they're making more money, okay, and they have higher status, they're still searching and seeking out a hypergamous relationship, or they're into the act of hypergamy. Now, whether it's conscious or subconscious, and that happens to be a little bit of what we're talking about today. So social media lately, though, and TikTok especially, there's a lot going on and there are a lot of revelations, okay? Women who want to be equal and don't need a man but are looking for a hypergamous relationship is also considered to be the other H word, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. And what word is that? No. It's not ho. The other word is hypocrite. Yeah, I know where you guys and gals were going with that, so... See, even the dating coaches of TikTok in a BuzzFeed article claim they can teach you how to marry wealthy. Wait, what? What? Are you freaking kidding me? Marry wealthy? All right, well, I tell you. The TikTok dating coaches who preach hypergamy and femininity say they can teach women how to, quote unquote, marry up. Even though the data shows, and again, the doctor spoke about this earlier, women are overall more educated than men and in some instances out-earn them. Now, I can understand where you want a man who's doing better than you socioeconomically, socially, and sexually. But the fact that you're still going through this phase, even though you're saying all men are shit and women don't need men, you know, it kind of makes you a hypocrite. Kind of brings you back to that H word. Now, what I've seen lately is that women have splintered into different groups. You have those women who are divorced, still have kids at home, working a hard job. They can't make ends meet. And I feel sorry for them a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? Some of them are looking for a stepdaddy or a provider to help them out with their bills or even their children. And, you know, and some of the women that I've met, they, you know, the fathers are still in the picture. I mean, you know, they split 50-50 custody, or, you know, they're here a couple of days a week and they're there at the dad's a couple of days a week. You know, so these are not, you know, like deadbeat fathers. But still, you know, the situation has it where the women are hurting. And even if the father pays child support or the women get some alimony, somehow their lifestyle doesn't coincide with the amount of money they're making. So then I've met some women who are a little bit older in age, and when I mean older, I mean, you know, upper 40s, you know, and the kids are gone. The kids are out of the house. They're empty nesters, and they're divorced now, and the husband is dating someone else younger. Now, that's another phenomenon, men dating women younger. The woman is alone, and even she has money. You know, so she's not like the divorced mom who has kids at home and stuff like that. This woman, she's divorced, but she has money, right? And she's still not happy. And maybe the, you know, happiness is because she sees that the ex-husband is dating younger. And, you know, maybe she has hit that proverbial wall. So proverbial wall, women hitting the wall is a topic you see on YouTube, on TikTok, and other things like that. So, I'll talk more about that in the future. But then you have the younger women who are either totally for feminism, you know, where they don't need a man at all. Of course, based on TikTok, or, you know, women who are looking for sugar daddies or relationships and are in a hypergamous state of mind. They're looking to upgrade at any chance they get. All right. So there's a lot going on out there. There's a lot going on with women, and there's a lot going on with men. And I'm going to talk more about that coming up here. Now, many of you out there right now might be saying, you're crazy, Jack. This is not what's going on. And I will tell you facts, legit facts. That's exactly what's going on. You see a lot of single women out there, all right, who, you know, they're dating, but they can't get a steady relationship. You know, it's crazy. And you see, because of the fact that they either think they're too good, or they hit the wall, or they got a lot of baggage. Anyway, I'll talk about that later. But see, women are trying to make the situation fit their narrative, where men are just happy to hang out, be left alone, and don't care what's going on as long as they have money. And I'm talking about the men. As long as the men have money, they're happy. You know what I'm saying? They can go out. They can hang with the boys. They can go to a Lightning game. They can go to a Bucks game. They can have a couple of drinks in the bar, or they can go out to eat and stuff like that. And instead of wasting time and money on women who are now claiming they are the prize and don't need a man. So the men are like, you know what? Squash that. You know, you think you're the prize. You don't need a man. Well, that's fine. I'm going to take my money, and I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go hang out with my boys, and we're going to have fun, where I'm not, you know, you're not trying to be drilling me or trying to get my money. If you're one of those, or if you're, you know, you're nagging, bitching and moaning and complaining and stuff like that. So men are taking a different perspective. Now, TikTok, the poisonous TikTok, TikTok is hosting a strong view from women on different topics and groups, especially using the topic of feminism. So y'all knew I was going to get here. I mean, going from hypergamy to feminism, it's, you know, two different sides of a spectrum, but feminism is type rough. And we're starting to see that negativity towards men increase even more. And I wouldn't say it's the hashtag Me Too movement or anything like that. I would say it's more of, you know, the social media that's affecting that a lot. So again, Webster defines feminism as the belief in and advocacy of the political, economic, and social equality of the sexes, expressed especially through organized activity on behalf of women's rights and interests. So that's a lot. But again, and social equality of the sexes. So hypergamy doesn't deal with social equality. Hypergamy doesn't deal with political, economic equality. Hypergamy deals with going to a higher level. You don't want equality per se, because if you're a a hardworking government employee, you're making $45,000 a year, you don't want to marry, date, be in a long-term relationship with a man who's working for government making $45,000 a year. You want to be with an accountant who's making $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year. Or you want to be with an entrepreneur who's making money, who's got his house, his car, he's taking care of business. And you want, you know, and he goes out and he's on social media and he's doing his thing. You want to be with that type of person. But feminism talks about equality, political, economic, and social equality of the sexes. Okay, so they want to be equal to men, but at what point, at what degree? So that's where feminism and hypergamy, they totally, you know, they go opposite ends of the spectrum. Now, the Urban Dictionary, as you all know, I always look up the Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary defines feminism as a movement that promotes social treatment for women under the guise of equality. Feminists will try to justify irresponsibility by demonizing men. They believe that women shouldn't have to be accountable for their actions under any circumstances, and that the responsibility falls to the men. How is the responsibility going to fall to the men if the women want to be equal? Again, we're going back to men are responsible. No, men are not responsible. Okay, they're not responsible for your feelings. They're not responsible to pay your date. They're not responsible to when you go on a, you know, on a date to pay your bill. They're not responsible to pay your rent. They're not responsible to pay your utilities. This is feminism. You want equality, you pay your own shit. You pay your own stuff. All right, you work hard, you bust your ass, and you experience what men experience. But in the, you know, and later on, I'm going to show you that's not what they want. So remember, the women, especially the feminists, say we don't need men. So no matter the definition, social media is damaging men and women with their mindset that women don't need men and can do whatever they want to do. And men are forming the mindset that they don't need a woman and are happier without them or losing money to them. Surveys from the Journal of American Medical Association shows that over the past several years, especially with the young generation of men, 18 to 24, sexlessness has gone up 30%. So that means that, you know, back in the day when, I guess I'll say when I was young, you know, sex was a big thing and, you know, everybody's having sex like rabbits and things like that. That's changed a lot. That's changed a lot. And what's really going on? Well, I think that in the age of social media, platforms like TikTok is attempting to break that traditional role, you know, and I don't mind that. You know, you can do that. You just got to be strong to believe that the new role or the new way of life is better or beneficial to all parties involved. Remember that equality that feminism talks about. But when one group, the women, they're supposed to be benefiting from this trend, you understand? But they're actually losing. And it makes you think a bit, you know, and you're like, oh, how are women losing if, TikTok says, oh, no, everything's great. Women are great. They can do stuff on their own. Because this is what's happening. This movement, if you want to call it a movement, a feminist movement, women's movement or whatever, men are pulling away and they're making it harder for women to get what they want, especially dealing with hypergamy. So why should a man settle for a woman who is lower than he is on the socioeconomic, financial, and sexual level? You understand? So men are starting to think, well, damn, you know, if men aren't shit and women are all that, then, you know what? And I'm making $80,000 a year, $90,000 a year. Why am I going to hook up with that? Or, well, let me rephrase that. Why am I going to wife, or why am I going to get into a serious relationship with that $45,000 government employee? I'd rather get another lady who's in, you know, real estate, who's a lawyer, who's a doctor making, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000, $150,000 a year, $250,000 a year. You understand? And then the men are going to take advantage of hypergamy. And hypergamy goes both ways. But now what happens is that though women want to be in a hypergamous relationship, or they're looking for the hypergamy, the men are like, stop. Now it's my turn to level up. So it's crazy. You know, it's crazy. And then the other issue is women who are pushing the narrative of feminism are even shaming real women who have decided to become hypergamous and chase the high value men. They are also criticizing women who are agreeable to being a housewife or house girlfriend and take the traditional role. So you see this on social media. I see this on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The feminists are coming out and saying, well, you know what? If you want to be that, you know, stay at home wife, or you want to be that stay at home girlfriend, and you want the man to pay for everything like that, then you're garbage. You know, you shouldn't do that, because, you know, we're feminists. We're strong. We don't need a man. But it should be their own decision. And the problem is, by you shaming them, it's, you're making it to the point where it's like, well, why the hell am I listening to you, because you're shaming me, but I got a better life this way. So if they had a better life doing it the way you wanted them to do, I'm sure they would have done it that way. But some of them are finding out, and it's a pretty good number. They're finding out that whole feminism, we don't need men shit, is not so muy bueno. So that's how it is. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they're getting criticized for that traditional role. Now, the wake up call has come more recently. And what I've seen is women are not the prize they used to be and can't offer men what they could before. Now, some have kids, some are divorced, some have a high body count. And if you don't know what a body count is, that means they slept around with a lot of men. You know what I'm saying? Now, men, they're in the new mindset movement. They have elevated themselves to be the high-value men that they are. And this has caused a vacuum, which the feminists didn't expect. The feminists expected men to become betas and cow down to them and say, oh, yeah, you're right. What do you want? You know, I'll do whatever you want. Now, the shift is starting to take place, with some women realizing that when the tire is flat, the faucet's leaking, or women want to be protected, they can't do it themselves, and they have to hire someone to do it. And guess what? We don't need men. But most of the times, they are hiring a man. Most of the times, they are hiring a man. Of course, that's what I said. All right. Why are they hiring the men? I don't know. Is it because only the men are doing these jobs? So what are they gaining from rejecting men and trying to do these things themselves? They're not. So that's why a lot of them are starting to change their mind and go, well, you know what? Having a man's not that bad. You know, the equality thing is nice, but at the end of the day, if he's paying the bills, I don't have to bust my butt so much, I can do my standard job at work and come home, you know, and in an equal relationship, we can, you know, be ourselves. And, you know, he cooks, I cook, we share, you know, we make enough money that we can go out, you know, numerous times a week. So what's happening is some women are waking up to that. But in the movement that the feminists put out there, men are looking for high-value women, and they will spend time with those high-value women who can bring something to the table that's more than just good looks and sex. Because what happens is, you know, now you have women, they're getting older, and you know, again, we hit that proverbial wall. So men are starting to date younger women who have less baggage. And the thing is that, you know, the society has it where men, the older they get, the more money they start making, the more foundational wealth they start having, the more stable job, the better the career and things like that. So now you have a man who's doing way better than he was when he was 20, 30 years old. All right. Starting to date somebody who's maybe 25, 30, 35 years old, because the fact is that they don't want to deal with that 40-year-old, 50-year-old, or 60-year-old who all of a sudden, oh, no, I'm the queen, I'm the feminist, you do this, you do that. And the guy's like, yeah, whatever, bro, whatever, all right? You know, you're 50 years old, and you got a 4-year-old at home. Really? Really? The guys don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with that. You got a 45, 50-year-old male who's like, I got to choose from a 25-year-old young lady who just graduated from college, who's starting her career out, may have a couple of bodies on her, and, you know, but she's still good-looking, she's still strong, she's still happy, she's still outgoing. Or I'm got to deal with this 45-year-old or 50-year-old who has four kids at home, who's divorced, and whose age is starting to show. You know, and don't kick on the makeup. Don't kick on the makeup because, you know, when you go to bed and the makeup comes off, so that's why things are starting to change. Men are starting to really change and be like, wait a minute. Why am I going to be a beta if I'm better than this? I am a high value person. You understand? So in my opinion, hypergamy will always be around. But the old days of any women being able to consider a hypergamous relationship is changing very quick. And it goes both ways, you know, because of the feminist movement and because of the fact that men are valuing themselves better. You know, it's changing. So now men will not allow the women's hypergamy, but on their own terms. You know, and most other women who 3 years ago would qualify for a hypergamous relationship won't even be looked at by men nowadays. Again, we talked about that. We talk about the men are changing their mindset, the stronger mindset, the higher value mindset. So some women who were, you know, who were down there, and I don't mean down there like, you know, I mean down there in a less of, you know, paying job, stature and things like that. Maybe 3 years ago, before the whole social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube trend pushed this change of mindset. And I will also tell you, you know, what happened in 2020 kind of added to that mixture also. So now the men have changed. And though the women keep on yelling and fighting and saying they changed, others who are trying to level up, if you want to call it that, or marry wealthy, are having a harder time doing that. Because men's eyes have been opened and say, hey, wait a minute. Instead of me dealing with you, all right, let me try somebody younger. Because, you know, if they're making the same amount of money I am making and they bring a lot more to the table, you know, than you're bringing, and I don't have to deal with giving you all my money, all my time, or things like that, then they might be the better choice. And that's what's happening. You understand? So I thank women and I thank feminism for waking men up and allowing us to start elevating ourselves to becoming a high valued man. Someone who is focused on our own health, mental health, financial wealth, and happiness. The men are going to the gym more now, they're eating healthier, and they're focusing on building generational wealth. And as a woman, you can do anything a man can do. Okay? You said it. You can do anything a man can do. And some of them have said that they can do anything a man can do better. The fact is that you just don't want to. Oh, no, Jack, that's a lie. I want to. I want to get equal pay. You know, I want equal this, equal that. Now, you watch the videos on YouTube and you hear the podcast of women who are told that they can do a better job than men or what type of higher paying jobs and long hours they have to put in. All of a sudden, it's like, wait, you mean I can't just get the money? You mean I can't be on OnlyFans and showing my feet, my you know, my body and be equal like a man? I can't have like a normal job and make normal money? You got to pay your dues and you have to work long hours sometimes. And the look on the women's faces in these videos, realizing it's actually not all roses when you want to be equal to a man. All right? Plumbers, welders, construction workers, auto mechanics. There are plenty of these careers that make a lot of money and where the people own their own company, work their own schedule, and even hire others to work for them. But why aren't there more women in these fields if they want equality? That's a question I want you and the rest of GPP to answer. Why aren't there more women in these fields if they want equality? Okay? They want to be equal to a man. They can make a crap load of money as plumbers, as contractors, you know, and stuff like this. So it's kind of weird. You know, you want to be equal, but only with certain things. So it's like, no, or you don't want to work as many hours, but you want to get equal pay. I mean, because if I'm making, you know, if I say I go to a normal job and I'm working, you know, say for JP Morgan and I'm working 60 hours, 70 hours and I'm making 100 grand a year, all right? Your dollar per hour is actually low. You understand? But it looks like I'm making a lot of money because I'm working overtime. You barely see me. I'm dragging ass. A coffee, five cups don't help. But you think it's easy and you're like, oh, I want to make 100 grand. I deserve to work to make 100 grand too if I work for JP Morgan. But you barely work 40 hours. You're taking time off. You don't want to work, but you want to make 100 grand. Sorry. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So you can't have hypergamy and equality and still call yourself a feminist. Listen to that again. You cannot have hypergamy, which is moving up on social status and economic status, looking for a man of a higher value, and still call yourself a feminist. Because remember, feminists want things equal. Okay? And you can't be equal to men if you're not willing to put in the work and the time to reach the status that took these men so long and hard work to achieve. Again, you know, the women in these videos talk about the patriarchy, all the men, the patriarchy and the rape culture and the this and the that. You know, it's a sounding board. You understand? It's a sounding board. The patriarchy, well, you know, men built bridges, men built buildings. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's unbelievable. And women could do it too. You understand? Men are plumbers. Men are construction workers. Women can be that too. And I've seen some. So I'm not putting all the women into the basket, because there's a small percentage of women who are out there who are mechanics, who are construction workers, who are plumbers, who are welders, you know, who kick ass. And they do a great job. But the majority of the women are not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're going to pick teaching, working at the courthouse as a clerk, some comfortable job in the air conditioning, especially in Florida. That's going to pay you $16 an hour. And then you're wondering why you're not making a lot of money and why you can't afford this and you can't afford that. You understand? But as we approach 2023, and pretty much everyone is going out nowadays. I mean, you know, every time I go out to eat at a restaurant, I go out with the group, I go out to music bingo, I go out to trivia. It's packed. It's packed. You know, everybody's going out to live their life free. Well, almost free, unless you're in China. China has a lockdown still from the that disease. They want zero cases. And that's when they're going to open stuff up. But that's an economic thing. Anyway, we'll see how this narrative changes and what will be the next wave of movements. You know, will it continue to separate or bring men and women closer? It's the crazy world of relationships, sex, money, and power. And don't forget, enjoy the ride. I just want you to remember to leave a comment or voice recording so you don't have to leave your real name. Remember, I told you, you don't have to leave your real name when you're doing a recording with Geo's Passion, because we have the motto. And the motto is, some names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. So enjoy the ride. Whew, come on. You know what time it is. You know how I roll. It's time for the poll. That leads us to the social media questions that were voted on by Geo's Passion Posse on social media. The answers came from GPP followers on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and Twitter. And we're going to start with question number one. And this one kind of shocked me. Or maybe it didn't shock me, but hopefully you can answer this one now. The first question is, are you into hypergamy? Choices were yes, no. I have to look up the definition. Yes, 0%. No, 0%. I have to look up the definition, 100%. Woo! So now, after you listen to this episode, I hope you know what hypergamy is. All right? So now you can vote yes or no in a future poll. So, the next question I posted on social media was, do you think married people can have a situationship? Now, you remember what a situationship is, right? All right. 50% of geospatians said yes. What? 50% of geospatians said no. What? So that was actually very interesting and threw me for a loop. And if you don't know what situationship is, then just listen to the previous episode called Sexy Situationships. Yeah, let's do that. Next poll. With equality. Again, we're talking about equality. Remember that feminism thing? Should women ask men on a date? The answers were yes, no, or F equality. Well, I got to tell you, F equality got 0% of the votes. The number one answer was actually yes, 80%, no, 20%. With equality, should women ask men on a date? 80% of you say yes. And the answers were given by both men and women. So I thought that was interesting, you know. And it's like, okay, I can see that happening. I'm sure little by little, it's happening more than it was in the past. But, you know, still not as much as the men asking the women out still. Next question. Do you prefer to date someone you met online or in person? Online, 25%. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you prefer to date someone you met online or in person? The answers were online, in person. The dating world is too crazy and I'm not dating, or I'm in a relationship and I'm not dating. So online got 0%. Dating world is too crazy and not dating got 0%. In person got 25%. And I'm in a relationship, not dating, got 75%. Just like I told you last episode. Damn, is it because of cuffing season? Cuffing season, are you in a relationship? Now remember, if you don't know what cuffing season is, more of that on my previous episode called Cuffing Season is Here. Will those numbers change when Valentine's Day comes in 2023 and cuffing season's over? We'll see. We'll see how many of you are still, what percentage are still in a relationship. And next one is, how long would you travel for a date? So again, you guys and gals said you want to do online dating. Nope. You want to do it in person. Okay. How long would you travel for a date? Not how far, but how long the drive or the bus ride or the plane ride or stuff like that. So I will tell you that the neighborhood that you live in, you probably won't get to meet that guy or that girl, because 0 to 30 minutes had 0%. So if you had to walk to your neighbor's house or you had to travel up to 30 minutes, all the respondents, 0%, which I thought that was crazy. I was like, man, but maybe, I don't know, bro. Maybe they don't want to get too close to the house, because, you know, then they think that if things don't work out, then you got a stalker mode and stuff like that. Wee, 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 wee. Oh, yeah, that's right. Happy Halloween. The next choice was 30 minutes to an hour, and that one was actually 80%. People would rather travel 30 minutes to an hour, 80% of you, to go on a date. Over an hour, 20%. Now my question is, damn, over an hour, 20% of you are willing to go over an hour? That's like going anywhere from Sarasota to Tampa to Lakeland to St. Pete to Wesley Chapel. I mean, you know, an hour, you know, for a date. You mean to tell me there aren't a couple hundred women or a couple hundred men who are available, who are quality in your area within the 30 to 1 hour, that you got to travel over an hour? Yeah, you do you. But let me tell you, with gas prices nowadays, I'm kind of liking that 0 to 30 minutes. But if I have to, I would do the 30 minute to 45 minute instead of 30 minutes to an hour. Now, the final one. Are you dating? And if you are, do you split a vacation 50-50 with your partner? Now, this is good stuff, because you know how I roll. I like to ask questions that are going to bother you, and that you're going to be like, damn, you know what? I never thought about that. So the choices were yes, no, and we don't go on vacation in our relationship. So do you split a vacation 50-50? Yes, said 20%, said yes. 60% said no. And then 20% said we don't go on vacation in our relationship. So first of all, no, you don't split 50-50. So there must be some ballers out there. I mean, you know, guys and gals, if you're not splitting vacations, that means the guy's paying the whole thing or the girl's paying the whole thing. And some of these vacations nowadays, especially after 2020, the prices have gone up and they're slowly coming down, but they've gone up. And, you know, and those of you who say you don't go on a vacation in a relationship, man, you're crazy. Let me go back to the no, the splitting the 50-50, no, 60%. If you go on a cruise, cruises are expensive. I want you to pay your part of the cruise and I'm going to pay my part of the cruise, especially if we're dating. You know, if you're married or in a long-term relationship and, you know, she's and all things are equal and you're in a good relationship, then, okay, I can see that. I can see that. But we don't go on vacation in our relationship 20%. You know, you got to go on a vacation with your partner to get to know them better. All right. The way they handle stress, because traveling is stress. I don't care what anybody says. It could be the smoothest transaction. It's still stress. From taking your sneakers and your belts off at TSA, you know, to when they start calling the boarding and everybody's standing up and they know they're the last ones on the plane and you're like all the way in the back and you're like in the middle of the plane and you got to fight through these people. There's stress. All right. But do that with a couple. All right. And go on vacation and see if your relationship gets better. If it gets worse. Damn. And again, I'd like to thank GPP and the Geo's Passion Posse for actively voting in the polls and passing it on to your friends and social media so they can vote too. And if you haven't joined GPP, remember to subscribe at geospassion.com. Let's continue to grow. Let's continue to grow Geo's Passion and the Geo's Passion Posse. Oh, man, I got to tell you. It's a very sad time. It seems like every time I get to this point, it's more sad. There is a little bit of good news, though. But unless you've been living on the rock, the Houston Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies are in the World Series. The series is currently tied 1-1, with the next game being played in Philadelphia. That's all I have to say about that, since none of my teams are there. Not the Mets. Not the Rays, nor the Yankees. My baseball season has officially ended. And like my buddy Leo V says, hey, it's almost spring training time. It is almost spring training time. So that's the sad part, the baseball. But good news, the Cowboys have Dak Prescott back. And they're winning games again. Remember, Dak lost one and Cooper Rush lost one. You understand? And Cooper Rush won 4 and lost 1. Dak has won 2 and lost 1. So right now, technically, Cooper Rush is better, but that's neither here nor there. Now, the Cowboys are currently in second place in the NFC East with their 49-29 win against the Chicago Bears on Sunday. They'll be heading into a bye week to rest up, which is good. The Eagles just came out of their bye week and they played on Sunday and the Giants had a bye week on Sunday. So the Eagles are now 7-1 in first place. The Cowboys are 6-2 in second, but tied with the New York Giants that are 6-2 in third since the Cowboys beat them in the NFC East. The Bucks, oh, man, Giselle. What are you doing to my boy, Tom? Seriously? What are you doing to my boy, Tom? The Bucs lost another one. This time it was 27-22 to the Baltimore Ravens on a Thursday night game. And they have dropped from first place in the NFC South to second with a record of 3-5. And the Atlanta Falcons are holding first place now with a record of 4-4. Come on, Giselle. Let Brady do what Brady does. Women. The Florida State Seminoles have a record of 5-3 with their 41-16 win against Georgia Tech. The Miami Hurricanes are 4-4 with their overtime victory of 14-12 versus Virginia. And in hockey, the Lightning are fifth in the Atlantic Division with a record of 5-4. Whew. That's crazy stuff, bro. That's crazy stuff. But I will tell you, that is your sports update. And again, my baseball is over, so I understand how it rolls. You know what I'm saying? We are done. Done with baseball. So now it's time for finance. Let's do this. recently in Syracuse, according to Joe Biden, the price of fuel when he took office was $5 a gallon. And we know that's not true. Brandon is lying. The fact checkers had to call them out. And the most common price for a gallon of regular gas on the day that Joe Biden was inaugurated, January 20th, 2021, was $2.39. What? $2.39, not $5. And that data was provided to CNN by Patrick Dehane, who is the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy. But let's get back to reality, because Joe Biden doesn't live in a reality with $5 a gallon of gas. We had over $5 a gallon of gas in June. It was like $5.59, $5.60, and I thought it was going to go up. I was like, damn, that's a lot of money. So, but now, according to AAA, the price of fuel in Tampa is currently an average of $3.23, and it's around $3.84 in the Bronx, New York. Now, fuel in Florida might be increasing because for the month of October, and I didn't know this until I heard DeSantis talk in one of his speeches, Governor DeSantis for the month of October had a gas tax holiday, which is going to end Halloween, October 31st. So, you know, the price is going to go up in Florida again. But I'm wondering maybe it was for the because of the hurricane. That could be possible because he did the suspension of the tolls for a couple of weeks there too. So now crude oil is $87.02 a barrel, which is steadily on the upside. And again, we're getting to those winter months. Things are going to be expensive. And also, don't forget to Google diesel fuel shortage. All right. Like the 80s hair band Cinderella says, it's going to be a long, cold winter. It is, because with the diesel fuel shortage, these truckers, you know, they're the ones who bring the food and stuff around and, you know, products to the supermarkets, to the stores. If there's a diesel fuel shortage and they can't get their stuff, a lot of these guys are not going to be driving. A lot of these gals are not going to be driving, you know, especially if they're driving a diesel vehicle. It's going to be crazy. So the U.S. dollar index is still high at 111.60, making the dollar stronger than other currencies. And one U.S. dollar equals $1.01 euro. And one U.S. dollar equals 0.87 pounds sterling. So, you know, it's hanging in there. It's still strong. So that's a good thing. In some parts, bad in others. Because if our dollar is more expensive, if our dollar is more valuable, then, you know, some people won't be able to trade with us. So in crypto, the price of Bitcoin is currently around $20,355. Ethereum is currently $1,566. Solana is $32.90. And Cardano is 40 cents. With Matic, 90 cents. So it's good to see crypto slowly increasing over this month, which is good. Little by little, you know what I'm saying? Now, Tesla's price is $226.24. And Amazon is $101.70. I sold my Apple on Friday after the big pump. And I'm glad I did, because it already went down to close to $2.45, $2.50. So, and finally, for El Tigre de Tampa, Eduardo, gold is $1,648.20, which is down $11.60 in a week. Sorry, Eddie. Gold keeps on going down. Now, don't forget to sign up with my Robinhood link in the description to start your account. We both get stocks, and it helps grow generational wealth. But you all know what time it is. Yep. Yes. Remember my legal warning and notice. I am not a financial advisor. Only spend the money you feel comfortable to lose. And my comments in the entire finance section is for entertainment purposes only. Exactly. What'd you say? That's how we roll. So now to the housing market. And as a realtor, I must say, ooh, it's getting ugly out there. And like I told you all in the past, by the time the government and the people say, oh, yeah, this and this, now it's too late. It's definitely too late. So the National Association of Realtors, September, they reported September pending home sales dropped 10.2%. So last month, September pending home sales dropped 10.2%. pending home sales trailed off for the fourth consecutive month in September, according to the National Association of Realtors. All four major regions recorded month-over-month and year-over-year declines in transactions. The Pending Home Sales Index, PHSI, a forward-looking indicator of home sales based on contract signings, slumped 10.2% to 79.5 in September. Year-over-year pending transactions slid by 31%. Wow, that's a lot. An index of 100 is equal to the level of contract activity in 2001. So, the level of contract activity in 2001 equals 100%. Right now, we're at 79.5%, and it's a slump of 10.2% for the month of September, and an overall pending transaction slide of 31%. So things are going down. Homes are on the market more. And I've said this in previous episodes. I see more open houses taking place by realtors. I see more signs in the front yard by realtors. And that's how you know that things have slowed down. Because, you know, in the past year and a half, 2 years, there's points where, you know, I do have signs, but I wouldn't put a sign up in the front of a yard because, you know, and some people say, oh, you should because you got to put yourself out there. I wouldn't do it because by the time I get the company to come out and put the stand up, the house is on the contract. And if it's a cash offer from a company, it's in, you know, 15 to 20 days, you're closing the contract. So by the time they put the thing up, you'll be calling them back to take the sign off. But it's not like that anymore. There's a house in the neighborhood I live in, and it's $602,000, and it's been on the market for a long time. And what happened was the buyers pulled out. They were like, you know what, the heck with it. Interest rates have gone up. The mortgage rates have gone up, and, you know, we can't afford it. We can't afford it anymore. So that house is sitting also. So that's the other thing. If you're looking to buy a house, let me know. Okay. If you have the money, the credit score, more cash on hand, because you're going to get discounts. And right now, the new construction company that has that house on my neighborhood, in my neighborhood, is offering $40,000 to the buyers in concessions. You understand? And that's crazy. That's crazy because that's a lot of money, but they want to get rid of that house. They're still building new homes in the neighborhood, but that one that sits, they lose money on it. You understand? And the prices have gone down. There's some prices of homes that I've seen recently, you know, as investment properties that I've been looking at, and they've gone down $15,000, and they've been on the market over 40 days. So things are starting to change. And if you're an investor and you have cash, give it a couple more months and you're going to start seeing things really, really, really cheap. So, you know, the persistent inflation has proven quite harmful to the housing market. And this was said by National Association of Realtors Chief Economist Lawrence Yoon. The Federal Reserve has had to drastically raise interest rates to quell inflation, which has resulted in far fewer buyers and even fewer sellers. You understand? So the mortgages are up. And why are you got your mortgage? Again, I've said this in the past. Your mortgage is 3%, 2.5% when the market was, you know, when the mortgage rates were way down. Why are you going to get into a house that, yeah, you'll sell your house, but it won't be for the peak dollar that we had earlier, you know, excuse me, in the past year and a half, 2 years. And on top of that, now all of a sudden, you're paying a higher mortgage. So that $100,000, you know, or $300,000 or $500,000 that you had, that you were going to make from a profit, now you're going to make less of a profit because the prices have come down. Inventory has gone up. And then you're on top of that, you're going to pay a higher mortgage. So that value, you know, it's not there. So what are people doing? They're not selling their homes. They're staying where they're at. And they're like, I'd rather, you know, and these are the times that people start going to Home Depot, start going to Lowe's, Ace Hardware, and they start fixing their own home up. They're like, well, crap, I got to live here for the next 3 years to 5 years based on the economy, so I'm going to fix my home up. And that's what happens. You understand? So now mortgages are horrible. Now, well, not horrible. Let me rephrase that. Because when I first moved to Florida, mortgages were like 6.6%. So it's not horrible. But if you're used to being in the housing market at 2%, 2.5%, yeah, this new rate is going to be horrible for you. So the first time in 20 years, the 30-year fixed rate average hit 7.08%. Oh, man. 7.08%. Wow. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac reported Thursday that the average on the key 30-year rate jumped to 7.03% from 6.94% last week. That's a huge jump. That's a huge jump from 6.94 to 7.08. The last time the average rate was above 7% was April 2002, 20 years ago. Wow. A time when the U.S. was still reeling from September 11 terrorist attacks, but 6 years away from the 2008 housing market collapse that triggered the Great Recession. Again, last year this time, rates on a 30-year mortgage averaged 3.14%. But again, recession? What recession? We don't have a recession going on. You guys are crazy. We don't have a recession. No. But what did I tell you? When they call recession, all of a sudden, it's too late. And I tell you, we're the fourth month of declines. 2 months of declines is a recession. We're double that. And yet they change the name and they don't want to call it a recession. But believe me, listen to me. I give you the numbers. I give you the facts. We're in a recession. I don't care what anybody says. So thanks again to the National Association of Realtors and the Associated Press for this in-depth information. Like I said, look, guys, gals, Geo's Passion Posse, GPP. The website, geospassion.com, many views and subscribers. And that's how I've been reaching out to a lot of you and letting you know the new episodes are out. Thanks for joining the GPP and rating the podcast with 5 stars. You know, you can do the follow and the 5 stars on Spotify, on Anchor FM, on Apple. And you can leave comments on Apple. You know, hook a brother up, like I always say. What's up with that, man? Let's build Geo's Passion and Geo's Passion Posse to where we rule the airwaves. Also, don't forget to check out the Geo's Passion YouTube channel and subscribe there for more videos so we can all enjoy the ride. And don't forget, if you have a good story and would like to be interviewed for the podcast, please reach out to me and we'll collaborate together. I will tell you before I close that I get the numbers and I get the locations, you know, cities and states of the people who listen to Geo's Passion Posse, to Geo's Passion. And, you know, I've got Texas, I've got New York, I've got Florida, I've got Ohio, I've got Utah, I got Connecticut, I got Jersey, I got Philadelphia, actually, Pennsylvania. You know, I got mostly a lot of northeastern states. I believe I got Alabama too. And then it breaks down per city and stuff like that. But one thing that I don't have is the big state of California. California, yeah. So it seems like my content is not for the West Coast for some reason. You know, I don't talk about hairstyle and sunny tans and homelessness and stuff like that. But for some reason, I have no. I do have somebody listening in Washington State in Seattle. Yep. So I give a shout out to them. I don't have Oregon, Nevada, California, Arizona. So, you know, if y'all know people in that location, those part of the United States, let them know what's up. South Dakota, North Dakota. Come on, people. I got Michigan. I think I have Michigan. I don't have Wisconsin, and Colorado. So I need y'all people to step it up. All right. But again, I can't do it without you. I can't do it without you. My friends, my fans, my family, Geo's Passion Posse. We're going to rule these airwaves. Can't wait to the day where I can meet all of you in person at a big event and say, yes, we all did this together. So again, I love you all. I thank you and enjoy the ride. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode of Geo's Passion and the Geo's Passion Posse. Shout out to you guys and gals. Don't forget to follow, subscribe to the podcast, no matter what listening platform you're on. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, and many more. Don't forget to follow Geo's Passion on the social media scene with Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and my YouTube videos. I'm working on getting 2,000 subscribers and followers. I am almost there. So hook a brother up, all right? Let's build Gio's Passion and the Gio's Passion Posse together. I thank you all. And remember, like I always say, some names have been changed to protect the innocent and not so innocent. Enjoy the ride. I'm Jack. I'm your host. And I'm out. Peace. Woo! Let's go.